Welcome to Behind the Game, the Kids in the Game official podcast, where we cover the intersection of youth development, sports, education, and technology in the New York City landscape.
Okay, great. Well, welcome everybody to episode 21 of Behind the Game. On this episode, we're joined by Nancy Johnson Horn, the founder of the Mama Maven conglomerate, I'm going to call it. You feel free to correct me, but you've done an amazing job. You have a tremendous following. So I think first and foremost, thanks for coming on. Thanks for being here. And just want to give you the opportunity for, you know, people that don't know who you are and what you're about to introduce yourself.
Hi, Paul. It's so nice to be here. I'm just a parent who has a lot to say, and this is my platform. So I like that I can talk to people. I'm not perfect. I will never pretend to be perfect. I have three kids who are very challenging, but then again, who doesn't have challenging kids?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's got something.
Yep.
My youngest is on the autistic spectrum and has ADHD and a lot of OCD lately. The pandemic really made that go out in full force. And then I have a daughter who's bright and smart and sweet, and she's got ADHD. And then I have an older child who's 14 and he has ADHD and type 1 diabetes. So we've got issues, we deal with them. And I broke during this pandemic, to be honest, about with the type 1 diabetes. It's been really hard. He's been diagnosed for 3 years. But you know what? Life goes on, and it doesn't matter if how many followers I have on Instagram. My family always comes first.
Yep.
But if I can, I've always said, if I can help somebody with writing about type 1 diabetes or what I go through with my kids, or even like a good bathing suit to find, because all those things are necessary. And yep. The thing that surprised me most about content-wise, and I know that's another question, people were so hungry for like homeschooling content, like mm-hmm. what to do, where to go, like good activities. And it's more than just academics sometimes. Like, they need recreation. They need entertainment, arts. It's so important. They need all these things. It's, to me, like, you know, one of the best things we did, even this summer, was, you know, remote learning was over, and I'll get to that in a second, but we signed my kid up for online diabetes camp, my oldest kid.
Oh,
and
wow.
Yeah. And for 5 weeks, he got to talk to kids that had type 1 diabetes, 'cause he was never interested before, and like be social with them. Like,
that's very cool.
It was great because he was missing the social aspect.
Yeah.
And all yep. these kids, I mean, I worry about everybody's social skills these days.
I know. And it's very real.
It's suffering. And the thing is, yes, academics are absolutely important, but if you don't have exercise and you don't have sports and you don't have arts and you don't have
You need an escape.
And there's yep. something that everybody can find out that they're good with. And I know that a lot of programs and a lot of schools have been able to pivot to going to, you know, being online. And that yep. is so incredible. Because that's something, like, if you had told me that my kid can take a virtual karate class yeah. or a virtual dance class or like a virtual basketball clinic, I mean, that is just fantastic. Yes, sign me up, take my money.
Yeah, I think we've been shoved into the future like 10 years, you know. Maybe this was something that all schools would be doing by 2030, but because of this, you had to adapt and you had to adjust. And, you know, I think a lot of groups in our space, they took two different routes. You know, back in March, they either said, you know what, we're going to stop operation, furlough some people and come back when we can be in person. And then other groups said, okay, well, let's see what this is about. Let's see what we can do. Let's see what the virtual offerings in the virtual world looks like. And a lot of them have been doing really well because, to your point, kids need it. Parents need the escape. You know, people need an outlet, and you know, to see a familiar face, a familiar coach, or an after-school coach, something like that. I mean, that's hard to come by, and I think people put a value on that.
I think it's very important, and the thing is, it's worth it because
yeah,
if you said, you know, can you you have your kid do a virtual basketball clinic, teach them really a good skill. I mean, I don't know my basketball very well, but let's say like we're gonna have a dribbling clinic here, and you're yep. gonna take a ball, and you know. Take your mom's phone, you're going to go outside, you know, or even in your living room. Like, that to me is so priceless.
Yeah.
because it's not mindless. I mean, like, we've had to strongly manage screen time. We've had to manage the time that they play games, and it's a currency. Get your online work done and you can do this. Mm-hmm. And to me, like, my kids will get involved in something and I'm like, oh, they're learning, or they're learning a skill, or they're having fun and they're engaged.
Yeah.
Even with playing trivia, I'm thrilled, because to me it's important. And I mean, this is the future, and you're right. You were thrust into it 10 years before it was going to be mainstream, right? But yep. I think it's going to even be more in demand. Like, I know, like, if my kids are involved in something and they're able to still do it, I mean, being at home, that to me is something like, okay, well, we can go on vacation. You can still do this. Like, why not?
Exactly. Exactly. You know,
we were upstate for a month and all my kids did virtual things. One of my kids did virtual therapy. Another one of my kids did that diabetes camp I told you about. Yep. And then he got a summer job and he's been working online at 14. Like, I'm like, oh, you.
It's great. Yeah, that's awesome. So, yeah, there's opportunity in it too, right? I mean, there's, you know, you can reach people across the country if you really wanted to. Whereas, you know, if you're based in New York, this is what you got, you know, that you're working here. But a lot of opportunity. I want to go back to you and how you got your start and what made you start Mama Maven. And we'll start there. Like, what made you want to start it?
Well, my son was in a playgroup when he was 3 months old. And the girl who was hosting the playgroup a lot was like, hey, want to review a stroller? Now, I had been, was a new time, first time mom. I was, you know, didn't know that much and researching everything. And they're like, no blogs back then. It was just starting. So I said, okay. And my son, my son was like 16 months old. And so we started doing strollers and I started writing for somebody. And then her blog got bought by People. And I ended up just writing for them. I wrote for other blogs. And then I was like, well, why don't I just do my own? And that didn't happen until 2011. When my third child was a baby. And then I didn't make any money till 2014 though. So
usually how it goes, right? It's a long
road. Yeah, it was a long road. And I kind of laugh when people are like, hey, I'm going to start a blog. And I'm like, you know what? Go for it.
Yeah.
And then
you got to commit 5 to 10 years and see how it goes.
Well, I think nowadays you don't have to as much, because when I was first starting out, I would have never asked a company for money.
Yeah.
And I am like setting up a buying equipment, and I'm setting up tripods, and I'm doing backgrounds, and I'm learning how to edit myself, and I'm doing things, and like, I'm a one man band. And then, you know, I have a great writer who will write a lot of pieces for me. Her name is Maytal, and she's fantastic. And I don't have the budget to hire her full time, but like, you know, and she does her thing. And, you know, when I can have her, I'll have her come to do something. But that's the thing, like, it's committing to it. So, you know, there are a lot of people now who are starting Instagrams and TikToks and YouTube. And I say, go for it. It's the kind of thing, why not? But you have to realize that you're not going to get something overnight. And but that's okay. And if you're writing it because you truly have something to say, then that to me is somebody who's worth listening to.
Yep, absolutely. So you mentioned you started, you know, doing a stroller review. Since you've launched your own site, you know, you cover a ton of topics. Is there one top, and I think a two-part question. One, I assume you started with, you know, family and parenting and then kind of branched out from there. Was it more based on what you were interested in, or maybe what people were asking for, or maybe a mix of both?
I think it was really what I was interested in. And then I saw that people really wanted like easy recipes, and I don't do complicated. So I saw that they were like really, most of my Pinterest traffic is for a lot of the recipes.
Got it.
But then beauty, like, I am not a person who knows beauty or fashion, but like, I buy a lot of products.
Yeah.
And so I'll work with companies and like they're solving a problem that, you know, I have. And also, there's a longtime sponsor I have that's fantastic, and I love working with the sponsor. And to me, like, you know, I have incontinence. So, you know, I've had 3 kids and it's something I know a lot about. And so one of my best sponsors is Depends, and I love them because they treat me so wonderfully and they let me share my voice and share my passions and share like what's up with me. And the thing is, I'm on the younger side for it, but I feel that, you know, people do ask me about it and they will message me and they'll say, hey, you know, I have this issue. And
yeah,
I'm not a doctor, but I can tell them what worked for me and what I think they, you know, might want to do and things that are going to help them. And so I feel like I have a platform and it's irresponsible of me not to share what I'm really doing. And
yeah, of course,
yes, there's a lot of things, but what I was surprised about during the pandemic is a lot of people really wanted to know exercises. They yeah. really wanted to know good workouts that are free that they could find. They like, wanted paid workouts. They just wanted workouts yep. and they wanted to know like, what can I wear for these workouts and homeschooling? They wanted to know what activities can we do? So like I put together a big post with a ton of resources and I kept adding to it. And mm-hmm. then I started a summer one about yep. like, you know, what you could do during the summer. And to me that was important because I know I'm always bookmarking and I wanted it all in one place. So it started to really keep myself sane. Yep. And then it helped other people. And I was like, wait, I'm like, this is, I have a teaching degree. I have a background in this. I have three children. This is what works for us. This is what, you know, what we do. And I'm really happy with, you know, how hard everybody's worked during this. My kids, they would crunch and, you know, at 2:30 in the afternoon, we would go to the park and just get the energy out. Like,
yeah.
I think people think with homeschooling and with remote learning, you're supposed to be at the computer from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. You're not.
No, of course not.
So that was really interesting. And to be honest, I'm not sure what we're going to do in the fall. I mean, if there's a blended learning option, we're going for it. Now I have three kids in three different schools.
Got it.
I don't know what we're doing yet, but I want to give it a chance. And I probably will go crazy figuring out what we're doing. But to me, we've got to give it a chance. And I am so proud of all the teachers that and the principals. I mean, I know my principal at the local school that we just left across the street works so hard.
Yeah, extremely stressful for them and trying to answer questions that nobody has the answers to. I mean, it's an impossible situation. And now finally we're starting to get some guidance. But we're still weeks away from being ready. So
yeah, and I just feel bad though because I know that whatever the decisions the schools make, someone's not going to be happy.
Yep, exactly. Of course.
You can't win in this situation.
No.
I almost wish Cuomo, and I let me tell you, Cuomo has been fantastic. Yeah. I think he's been fantastic in this.
Yep, I agree.
And I definitely have been crushing on him a little bit, like a lot of other women. But he has good, sane things to say, and I'm just hoping he's right.
Yep.
Just hoping. I mean, I have a niece who's in Michigan to start a new school. I have family in Florida. I have family in New Jersey and upstate New York. And I have people, you know, a cousin's daughter just went back to college in Virginia. Like we're kind of all watching and waiting and seeing what's going to go on. And I'm saying like the pivoting, if companies and programs and schools can pivot, then I have to pivot too. And I have to trust this.
Yeah, for sure. All good points. I also want to go back a little bit to your start. So you start your own site in 2011. Since then you've amassed a crazy following. You have thousands of followers on Instagram and Twitter.
What everybody does. I mean, I don't know.
I don't want you to not get credit here.
You've done, really
the question is for people that want to start, I mean, how did you do it? And what would your recommendation be to them?
It's consistent. It has to be, if you're, let's say you're writing about a widget, and you're not interested in this widget, people are going to know. You need to be authentic. So like for me talking about strollers, I've reviewed over 70 strollers. You ask me a question about strollers, even now years later, my son, my youngest is about to turn 10. I still know everything about that. So like make yourself an expert in a few areas. Like I know everything about type 1 diabetes. I know everything about ADHD. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything about autism. I'm learning as I go, but I'm committed to it. So like taking care of my skin. I mean, doing things like I'm making easy recipes. I've learned that there's probably like 10 things I'm good at. And I tend to write about those 10 things because I'm good at them.
Yeah.
And I mean, I taught myself how to edit using YouTube. You don't have to spend a ton of equipment. So you only have an iPhone, make it work. You know, I have a DSLR. I have like 4 or 5 tripods now. I keep finding ones I like for different reasons. Now I'm loving TikTok, but I haven't figured out how to get those people to my blog yet. So Instagram, which is really funny, they don't come to my blog either. but they like me separately. So I almost try to mimic other content on Instagram because it sometimes it's my blog content, something it's not. TikTok, I try to be funny, to be honest, because
Of course.
I've got a buddy stand-up comedian in me. And but with like Pinterest, on Pinterest they go to my blog. So Pinterest, I spend a lot of time, like I learned how to do video pins. There are so many tools out there that you can use. And like, I keep a track of what I'm spending because I buy a lot of software. I buy a lot of things to upgrade my blog. I'm privately hosted. So, most people will go to a company, and I have a friend who did me a huge favor and he runs things for me, but like he's fought off like Russian hackers at 3 a.m, which is amazing. He's like, they attacked your blog again. I'm like, what
are they attack? I mean,
they know the serious thing. They launch attacks against, it's just, I let him handle it. But anyway, the point is, I would say pick one or two things that you're good at. Like, for example, Twitter. I just talk on Twitter. Like, that's not, and I'll promote myself a little bit and they'll go to my blog, but it's more, it's just, it's like a event zone. And yeah. I get to talk to people on Twitter. Pinterest, they go to my blog. So I make everything really pretty. My blog, I keep it pretty. Instagram, that's a little harder because I'll just do videos sometimes. And then sometimes it's like, well, you know, I'm working with a big sponsor and, you know, I'm going back and forth with the company and I'm really trying to get their message across. Like I worked with Amazon and I use Amazon a lot. To me, it was like the perfect fit because they had this whole thing called Camp Prime and it just, we created a cool s'mores board. And like, I liked when I'm able to take the content and run with it. That's when I do the best job, when I'm able to make a cooking video. I'm small on YouTube, even though I think my content's good, they don't listen to me on YouTube. So, I mean, I have some videos that have done very well and then others, it's just not getting there.
You seem to be on, I mean, and I assume you're on Facebook.
Of course, but that's, so it's that's Zoom? Small, but.
Yeah. Wow. What is your biggest following? Which platform?
It's Instagram.
Okay. And I guess this is a tough question, but if someone is going to start a new blog or, and assuming they have, you know, the actual website and they can only be on one platform, what would you recommend?
I'd say Pinterest.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Very because cool. I'll post a good recipe and this is where my superpower is. I'll know how to make a nice pin that will get them to the blog.
Yeah.
I'll know what to say in the pin. The pins do well. Yeah. Now, I feel like they can't take the blog away from me. Instagram could go down tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Trump could ban TikTok. It could happen. Facebook could go away tomorrow, but I have my blog. I own that. Mm-hmm. So yes, you could absolutely be an Instagram influencer and you could do really well, but they shut you down. They ban you. I mean, you're done.
Yeah. It's very important to at least have one
or two,
or that is your own, whether it's a podcast, a show,
something,
a website, something for sure.
Yeah, that's exactly like a podcast. Like have a podcast, absolutely, but do everything you can to drive traffic to that podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
you know, the Instagram to the podcast is perfect because you can put links. Mm-hmm. But that's the thing. Like, I worked on it, and I spend a lot of time on Instagram just talking to people because, you know, I have people that will, obviously they come to me, but if I don't go to them or if I don't reply to what they said, they're not going to keep following me.
Yeah.
So it's
engagement, super important.
It's super, super important. And that's the thing. Like it has to be authentic and it has to be consistent. I can't stay off Instagram for a day because then they're going to be like, where are you? So it's a lot, but I'm not sorry about it. And I enjoy it. It's fun for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
When it stops being fun, I'll quit.
Good. Good. Yep. Want to transition a little bit to what it's like raising a family in New York City. So two-part question. What are, you know, some of the challenges or the hardest part? And then, you know, what are some of the most fun or some of the benefits to raising a family in New York City?
Well, let me say this. I love New York City. I am fortunate enough to live in Queens. I moved out from Manhattan after 9/11 and I met my husband. I got married, had kids. I love where I live is Kew Gardens, but we do a lot of stuff in Forest Hills.
Very cool.
I love it because it's so green here and there's a park two blocks away and I love my apartment building, but I need more space. That space is a thing.
Yeah.
We have a big apartment. we had planned on two kids and had three kids. Typical New York thing.
Yep.
Typical parent thing.
Yep.
And I love it. I love that, you know, we redid our kitchen like 12 years ago. And so it's open so I can cook and talk to everybody. And my husband, luckily enough, works at home. So he's worked at home for the last 2 years.
But he's used to this.
He's used to it. And so that's why his salary got cut during the pandemic by like 20%. And you know what? He worked harder.
Yeah, I bet.
He works really hard, and I'm really happy he does work really hard. And I'm lucky that he's supportive, and he knows that I'm happy doing this. And yes, I feel like I work 24/7, but a lot of people have always done that, and I will continue to do that. I mean, it's pretty rare if I don't check the blog at least once a day. I'm just always kind of watching and waiting. But my point is, I love New York City because there's arts, there's culture. I just love the hum of the city. I love that my kids aren't afraid to ride a subway. I mean, I grew up in Long Island. And if I could tell you how many people from my graduating class never come into Manhattan, it's a lot of them. They're always like, no, I don't go to the city. Yeah, I don't go to the city.
Yeah,
the art, the culture, the Broadway shows. Like, I love Broadway.
Yep.
And I miss Broadway. But I love that, you know, we can go to Central Park and just hang out. Or we can do, you know, Little Italy and just the culture, the food. My kids are comfortable, like, discussing types of sushi. I never had that growing up. And like, I had a fine growing up. It's just the culture aspect. You can't, you know, I'm glad my kids know the value of New York City.
Yep. Yeah. No, I mean, as a kid, you can literally get exposed to a million different things that, you know, kids growing up anywhere else in the country don't. Now, not to say that growing up elsewhere isn't amazing. There's plenty of good things. I grew up in Connecticut, so not far. Amazing state to grow up in. Wouldn't change it. But there's a lot of benefits to growing up in New York City. That is for sure.
Well, yeah, I had family in Weston.
Yeah. So there you go. Yeah.
My father was born in Hartford. And so Connecticut's awesome. Like Stanford, like the beach. Great. Wow.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
I think kids need a lot of different type of experiences. And yeah. New York City is something that I'm really glad that we've chosen to do. Now, I don't know how long we'll be here.
We've seen a mass exodus of New York City the past couple of months. Even if it's temporary or permanent, you know, kind of remains to be seen. But very interesting. That's for
it's
sure.
It's interesting. I'm hoping that people will come back. I mean, I love the city. It's in my blood. I don't want to leave.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, my husband's up for possible job transfer. So I don't, you know, but the thing is we've had a possible job transfer for like 10 years. So I'm like, until you get that contract, you're staying, you know, we're not even thinking about it, but this is my home and I'm very happy. I've raised my babies here.
Yeah. You know, what was the hardest part of remote learning? What did that look like for you and your family? How did your kids adjust to it?
I think the lack of one-on-one teaching was really hard for my kids. And I think the teachers really stepped up. The schools really stepped up, but it was hard because the teachers were told not to go on live. Then they were told to go on live and it wasn't live instruction.
About Zoom, they had some issues and...
And I understand, and like, I'm not even mad or upset about that because what's the point?
Yeah.
But like my older son has a para one-on-one, he has ADHD, and he was on the phone and texting with his para all day. His para was just phenomenal.
That's great.
Now, for my younger son's para, he was going on paternity leave at the time, and we didn't hear from him. Now, he was on paternity leave. What is he going to do? He had a baby.
Yeah.
Now we had he's on the autistic spectrum and he had a para, an ABA therapist that was coming in one-on-one. She didn't want to come during the pandemic. So, okay. But about a month in, about mid-April, we were able to get someone else to come in and she went to only us and another family. And she was fantastic because without her, I would not have survived because my son often refuses to do work and he's a lot of OCD things came out with him. And you know, during March and half of April was really tough with that. Yeah. So we had about a tough month. And then when she came, it got a lot better because we had guidance and we had with autism, I don't know anything about it, to be honest. So it's been a whole struggle with that. And he actually did better at home than he did in school, which is really weird to say. But he did his lessons, and then he would have, like, there wasn't a lot alive, and then his teacher started going on, like, once or twice to have meetings with the kids, and she's phenomenal. So, like, I looked at the text log through Class Dojo, and I texted her 348 times.
Wow.
So that's how our pandemic went.
Wow.
We could not have done it without support. So,
yep.
You know, for a lot of special needs kids, they weren't really served with this remote learning, and I feel very bad for them because they didn't get what they needed, but there was just no way to get it. Like, we stopped a lot of therapies with my son because he wasn't responding. And so he'd be on with his OT and he'd walk away.
Yeah.
I would chase him back. He would walk away. I just finally said, you know what? No, it's just not working. So that's the kind of thing, like, things didn't work. And there were schools that realized, listen, this isn't working. Like, for example, my older son's school started the most fun thing on Fridays or Thursdays. They would do like a science trivia. They used an online game called Kahoot, and these kids had fun and learned.
Yep.
And he ended up doing better with remote learning than he did in the classroom.
That's awesome.
And my younger son did better with remote learning than he did in the classroom, but my daughter did not do as well.
Yeah. It's I'm sure it's different for each kid, right? Everybody learns differently. And I can tell you that I probably would have done horrible. I needed in-person direct, not necessarily one-on-one, but I needed a teacher to be on me. I don't think even in a college setting, I don't think I would have done well, let alone fifth, eighth, high school age. I mean, I don't think I would have done well. Do you know what you're planning on doing in the fall with all, I know you mentioned your three kids go to three different schools.
We're going for blended learning if it's feasible. I think that we need to try it. I mean, the infection rates are lower. We really haven't seen very many people. We've done what we were supposed told to do. I mean, we were so strict with it. I went shopping once a week. I wore the mask and the gloves and the hat and the glasses. And
I was cleaning groceries leaving them outside the whole.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And then I went up to my mother-in-law's in Port Jervis, and my father-in-law's, like, the infection rates were really, really low, like better than New York City. He was like, I go out like three times a week. I was like horrified.
Yeah.
But then I started going out three times a week. So we got back, and, like, I don't want to go back to the once a week because, you know, we like something from Trader Joe's and something from BJ's. And I cook, we've only gotten takeout like three or four times. And, you know, I like to call it supporting our local economy so I can justify takeout.
Yeah.
But, like, I do cook a lot. And now I got, you know, my husband with the celiac, and my daughter has, like, lactose intolerance now. And my son, we count the carbs for the type 1 diabetes. Mm-hmm. He can eat anything he wants, but it's like you have to know the carbohydrates.
Yeah.
So, like,
it's important to be able to go and get what you need.
And, like, I cook a lot of Weight Watchers foods for me. Like, and then my youngest one is so picky. So I go crazy.
Yeah.
But we cook a lot.
Let's give some of your local places a shout out. Where have you been ordering from in the
pandemic? We love Cobblestones in Forest Hills, right on Queens Boulevard. They're fantastic. Okay. And Ocha Thai, which is the Thai place in our building on Queens Boulevard. They're fantastic. We had a pad Thai. Oh my God, delicious.
Awesome.
Austin Ale House is fantastic. Danny's House of Pizza in Kew Gardens.
All right.
But right now we're not ordering pizza because we need, and Mario's in Long Island, and Plainview Long Island has gluten-free pizza, and my husband's now gluten-free, and that is his favorite place.
That's the favorite spot, huh?
Yeah, we went out in May for his birthday and brought it to my father's backyard because he lives in Westbury, and we just ate there because we needed.
Nice.
We really have, like, not gone out a lot of places. So my father-in-law would be like, don't go here, but go here. So, like, okay. Like, like, I'll follow your rules under your roof. Absolutely. Like, but I'm really glad that we've been able to take advantage of the restaurants around us.
Yeah.
We haven't eaten anywhere outside yet in New York City, but that's coming because it's my son's birthday on Wednesday.
Oh, nice. So, okay. Happy early birthday.
Thank you. He's going to be 10. He's my baby. I said, you're going to be 85. You're still going to be my baby. He's like, okay,
always.
Mom.
Always.
And he's this funny kid with red hair. He's a throwback. It's like my other kids have dark hair and dark eyes. And I have a redheaded child.
Got a red. Wow.
Yeah. He's gorgeous. But, like, he's always like, I hate my hair color.
No.
Okay. Whatever. Yeah, he's a throwback.
Awesome. Well, listen, Nancy, we'll get you out of here on that. We really appreciate you coming on the podcast. This was great.
Thank you.
Before we go, want to make sure that you tell everybody where they can find you on social media and the website and all that good stuff.
I am the Mama Maven everywhere. It's THEMAMAMAVEN .com on Instagram, on the TikTok, which I got a little silly yesterday, and you know what? I liked it because I'm like a frustrated actress comedian who's a really bad actress and comedian. Twitter, you know, that's the thing. Like, I like those platforms because people have private messaged me a lot of questions, and
I'm sure
during a pandemic or during regular times, if I can help somebody, that's my thing. So please, you know, you have a question about homeschooling, remote learning, and not having to, you know, go crazy, type 1 diabetes, living with autism and ADHD, beauty and skincare routines. Okay, I'm not so good on that. But seriously, I'm so open to it. And thank you so much for having me. This was really cool.
Yeah, of course. Appreciate you coming on. And we'll have you on again soon. And best of luck with everything this fall. And you know, stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll talk soon.
I love to mask.
Yes.
Yeah. Target has really good masks, so like I stacked up.
Nice. Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Nancy.
Thank you for listening to Behind the Game. Make sure to subscribe in the iTunes store and be sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram @KidsInTheGameNY and Facebook @KidsInTheGameNYC.